Welcome, everybody, to SCI's First for Hunters podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cassidy, Executive Vice President for International Government and Public Affairs at Safari Club International. It doesn't matter where you hunt, what you hunt, or how you hunt, you've come to the right place if you're a hunter. This podcast will give you the latest breaking news on what's happening and what you can do about it to protect your freedom to hunt. Hey, hey, everybody. Ben Cassidy back with you on the First for Hunters podcast, a special edition today as it's our first international episode. That's right. I'm speaking to you from Europe, where SCI is attending the CIC General Assembly, their 69th in Paris, France. It's been two great days of robust conversation, really centered around the discussions that are going on around the planet on biodiversity and the central role that hunters play in that fight. You know, the thing is, and always boils down to communications, is there's just a gap between the work that we're all doing and we know what we're doing and the rest of society understanding that and recognizing it. So there's been a lot of really good conversation with all our friends from around Europe on what we're doing to address that. I think one step we're doing towards that is this very podcast, because I'm very delighted to be joined by a good friend of mine and of SCI's, a life member of Safari Club International, the president of FACE, Torbjørn Larsen. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So we broke away. We found a little quiet space so we could get caught up. You've been very busy at the show. I know you had a great presentation on communications and what you're doing in Europe. So really excited to hear more on that front. But first, Torbjørn, do you mind just introducing yourself, giving a little bit of background to the listeners?
Yeah, I'm the president of FACE. We have 36 national members, and of course, we have associate members like SCI. Sweden is my home country. I used to be the president of the Swedish Hunting Association, keen hunter, five dogs, family, live on the countryside, more or less.
That's fantastic. So you're the right man to be representing hunters then in Brussels.
They say so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Absolutely. So FACE, when was it founded?
1977. It was around the bird directive here in Brussels.
Okay.
So that's where some of our members started to talk about we have to come together as hunters when the formation of the bird directive was founded. So that's the start of it.
So you started there and all the problems were solved and FACE went away. No.
Not really.
Not really.
No. We are based in Brussels, and I usually say, you know, more and more decisions are coming out of Brussels. I usually say that when a hunter or anyone goes out in the nature, 80% of the rules and laws that affect us comes from Brussels. And that's not only the EU members, it even affect the US hunters as well, mm-hmm. as you know. So this is, it's really important that the hunters are present in Brussels.
Absolutely is. Now more than ever. I mean, we see it. We have a great partnership, you know, SCI and FACE work a lot hand in hand, because what we recognize is we see that same fight just happening in different places. And we know that it moves, right? It doesn't just stay static in one place. So say trophies, right? If that's happening in Brussels, you can expect those bad ideas to be copied in Sacramento, California, Washington, D.C. So you've really got to be present everywhere to be able to address it. You can't just fight in your backyard. I'm just so grateful on behalf of SCI to have a partner like you guys who really are plugged in to the pulse of Brussels and all the different, you know, members of the EU and beyond into what issues are happening. I also think you all do a terrific job of representing, you know, the voice of the hunter. Your membership is made up of the hunting federations.
Yes, exactly.
And that adds up to how many hunters?
In total, we represent 7 million hunters in Brussels.
Wow. So you guys are kind of that glue, that mediator for the broader community.
Exactly. So all our members, in total, they have more than 3,100 employees and more than 70,000 elected people. So, wow. So it's a big organization, actually. But we have 14 staff in Brussels.
Yep. Wow, that's good. Yeah, we love working with the team. Dr. Scallon, Constantina, Valentina.
Oh, yeah.
Across the board. You've really assembled quite the crew. Saw your new office you're moving into. just right in the shadow of yeah. Parliament. Very nice. So you've got all the different countries, then you've got Parliament. So does everyone kind of have the same hunting approach, the same sort of ethic to it or values, or is it varied? Does it get complicated?
That's interesting. Probably the same in the U.S. with different states and cultures you have. And,
sure.
And I usually say that the diversity, we should use that as a strength. In the past, I would say we used it a lot as a weakness, you know, but we need to use the diversity as a strength. And then I said, we have to come together for the passion of hunting.
Absolutely.
And accept, stop pointing fingers at each other, because we're quite good at that as hunters, you know. So stop, you know, talking bad about other hunters and their hunting cultures, and focus on telling everyone what you do for the conservation.
Absolutely. Yeah, identifying really where the issues are, focusing on that side of things. The diversity is huge, and you guys do a great job of bringing it together. And I want to just highlight, you know, one way that you're having that single voice and really bringing together those diverse perspectives. Maybe you can touch on it a little bit, but in Brussels, in Europe, in the Parliament, it's a little bit different with some of the democratic voice being heard. Petitions, for example, those are really taken as official documents, right, by the
Parliament? Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
And what we've seen over the years is anti-hunting groups really lay into that and do lots of petitions on and every species that's being considered, on hunters, you know, specifically, on importation issues. And they've always been very aggressive in that space. And I don't know that hunters have really played in that space, but you've done something about it, right?
Absolutely. We discuss this a lot, because the anti-hunters are super good at this, and they also play on people's feelings. And we always, I usually say, we'll usually win when it comes to the politician and the officials, because we have the facts straight. And the anti-hunters, I would say, it's a lot of half-truth if it's a good day.
Yeah.
So we decided we had to do something about it, because the hunters in Europe are really upset how everything is going. We're winning, but it doesn't always look good. So we said we do a petition. And that's really fun, because we don't do that among hunters.
Sure.
That's the anti-hunters thing, you know.
Yep.
So we started the petition, and it was growing slowly, but it's getting better and better. We closed it the 6th of June. The commissioner of environmental will hand over the signatures to him. We passed 250,000, and some could say, with 7 million people, what happened? No, the biggest petition in Brussels on any NGO is 498,000. So hopefully we're getting closer to that.
Sure.
We're getting closer to that. But at the same time, we're learning. We're learning. It's a new culture for us to do a petition. I would say official in Brussels was, I think they were quite shocked. They called me and had a meeting with me and said, what is it that you want to do? You've never done this before. So that was, it's working.
I mean, that's proof positive that it's working, right? If the actual decision makers are reaching out saying, we've seen this, what can we do? More of that, right? And I just want to, you know, compliment you all for doing it. I would say 250,000 signatures to date is extremely strong. I don't know what the percentage is out of 7 million, but that's tremendous. And again, first time out of the gate, people will get more used to it. I mean, that's like at Safari Club, you know, we have a very robust grassroots system. We started it about 4 years ago, and it's only grown and grown because people get more acclimated and they see the wins off of it, right? You just have to tell everyone, like you just did right now. I mean, the commission in Parliament, like, they're noticing it. They're asking for our opinion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that gives us more credibility as hunters. So tremendous.
Definitely.
Thanks. Yeah. I would ask, how can folks sign on? So you said June 6th it closes?
Yes, and it's signforhunting.com. So please, if you hear this, go to signforhunting.com and sign. It doesn't matter if you're from US or whatever, yep, from the world you are. So please sign. And it's more or less, you know, we want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. So we're telling Brussels that we work with us, not against us.
Absolutely.
That's the main message that we have. And then we, of course, you can see on the webpage what we want. But I would say work with us, not against us.
Absolutely. That's great. Well put. So signforhunters.com. So you come from Sweden, right?
Absolutely.
Hunting in Sweden, is it? I mean, it's got to be incredible.
Big tradition, of course. It's everyone can hunt. So it's easy to access. You know, it's a countryside or urban people, doesn't matter.
What's the social acceptance in Sweden? Is it accepted? Is it unpopular, popular?
The acceptance is very high. It's usually in the Nordic countries, it's between 88 and 90%.
Okay.
So that's very high. In Sweden, my organization, we started to measure the acceptance of hunting in the society in 1970. At the time, it was 71%. So we said we have to do something about it. So we've been working really hard with that. And now it's the last one is 88%, I think.
That's tremendous. Okay, so 88%, it can even go higher. That's phenomenal. I know that from your position at FACE, you've wanted to bring that to all of Europe. That's sort of acceptance, right?
Yeah.
So you've set goals.
We set goals. We worked for 11 months on our new strategy, and we did workshop with our members, with other NGOs, with politicians, with the officials, all kinds. And now we have a goal for 2027 that the acceptance all over Europe is 70% 2027.
That's great. So through FACE, you're working with the different hunting federations, trading ideas on how to communicate better and how to increase that acceptance?
Absolutely. So we have working groups. Mm-hmm. We have a working group for communication, firearms, ammunition, and so forth. And that's really good because our members have really good knowledge and expertise that support the work that we do.
That's awesome. Very good stuff.
And of course, SCI is there.
Yep, all the way. Expect it. Let's go back to Sweden real quick. You were yesterday telling me about, you know, some of the things that makes hunting in Sweden unique. And I always love the uniqueness of other hunting cultures. And one thing you'd mentioned to me was the dogs in Sweden.
Of course.
So you obviously have your own breeds of dogs, like the moose hound, the
moose dogs.
Moose dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amazing. And you were telling me that certain hunting has to be done with a dog?
All hunting in Sweden.
You need
to get hold of a dog, a trained dog for tracking down wounded animals within 2 hours. Otherwise, you're not allowed to hunt.
That's great. That's awesome. So every hunter owned a dog, or they knocking on their neighbor's door saying, can you loan me Barney real quick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you go out hunting, you knew who to call.
Yes.
If you don't have your... But most hunters, I would say most hunters have a lot of hunting dogs. I have five myself.
Five? Yeah. Are they all moose dogs?
No, we have two moose dogs, one German short-tailed pointer, and some others.
For everything you need to do.
That's absolutely
great. All your best friends. I love it. Busy household.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. And they're all indoors at night.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another thing you were telling me about is, you know, you're a very successful businessman in a number of different places. One of the things that you've overseen and run from the get-go is the Swedish Game Fair, right? Is that
absolutely?
And you're telling me that it became so popular and enormous, you had to take it off the land and put it on the water.
That was an idea they had. It was actually in the cruising ship. They wanted me to do. They wanted to do a game fair on the cruising ship, and everyone said you have to talk to Torbjörn. So I finally decided to do it. So we rented a cruising ship for 24 hours. We left Stockholm in Friday afternoon and came back Saturday night.
That's awesome. And when you're saying cruising ship, like how many people are on this boat?
1,200 hunters.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did everyone have a good time?
I had a good time. The captain was nervous. So he ordered extra guards, you know, just because he wasn't a hunter and he saw all these crazy hunters getting drunk, fighting, you know. After when we're coming back to Stockholm the first time, he went down and, you know, really was surprised because they never sold so much beer in the bars. And no fight at all. Everyone was talking hunting.
Just happy hunters.
Yeah, happy hunters.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, if you don't bring back the floating game fair, I think SCI is going to have to find one, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have one leave out of Florida.
You're welcome.
I love it. Yeah. Brilliant ideas. That's why we exchange ideas. I was going to ask you, so just kind of zoom out some, what is your motivation for hunting? I think that's something that we've talked about, you know, while we've been at this conference. You know, a lot of the outside of the, our community looks at hunters and they just see that, you know, millisecond of pulling the trigger, letting the arrow fly. And there's more, so much more to the story. So just, you know, want to know from your perspective, like, what's your motivation?
I would say most of us that grew up with hunting, that most of us done, we are, for me, it's like doing my service. Hunting gave me so much.
Yep.
And of course, it's not nothing about killing. It's the culture, it's meeting other people, getting new friends, being out there in the nature. And then I get really upset when some people doesn't understand that we are the hunters and we are doing the conservation.
Sure.
We are actually the guardians of the nature.
Absolutely.
And we have to protect that. It's a freedom of hunting.
Absolutely is. No, great answer. It's very complicated. There's a lot of motivation to it. And before we leave on this, I've really appreciated the discussion. I want to ask you, you know, looking towards the future of hunting, you know, our folks, we're always thinking about what's next. We're obviously all gathered as concerned hunters here, right? That's what we've been talking about. And you're in a position of real great power, and you see a lot of what's going on. What do you want to leave, Torbjörn, as your legacy for hunting?
I mean, when I meet hunters, they're all engaged, but we have to look above that. We need to understand that hunters are in minority. And usually we think we are in majority, but we're not.
Yep.
I would say in Europe, more or less 3% hunters. And the other group, the anti-hunters, they are just about 3% as well.
Yep.
So we have 96% of the population who have not made up their mind. And when we explain about hunters and what we do for conservation, no one say no to hunting.
Yep.
And that's, I would like that to be my legacy, that we have a higher acceptance of hunters for hunting and conservation among the society. That's the most important thing, because it's the society in the future that will decide if we are allowed to hunt or not.
Absolutely.
You like it or not, doesn't matter. That's how it's going
to
end up.
Exactly. So we've got to do something about it. And I know at FACE, working with you all from SCI, you're doing something about it, whether it's the petition or getting everyone organized to be able to increase that social acceptance, exchange of ideas, look at Sweden as a model. I think you're really on your way to reaching that legacy. So
thank
really
you.
Appreciate you taking the time. Yeah. I know you've been very busy here. And I'm looking forward to this coming week. We're all going to be together for your General Assembly in Bulgaria, which is always
absolutely
an awesome gathering.
And by the way, I looking forward to come to Nashville next time.
All right. Yes. I mean, you're like, how many shows have you been to in the past? You've been to Reno. You've been to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, about approximately 10.
But you missed out on Nashville this year.
Yeah, I did.
And we missed
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make it hard on you right now because you said you're coming.
You do.
Yeah. But we just can't wait to have you there. I think you're going to be blown away. You spent time in the U.S., and I don't know if you've been to Nashville before.
Never. And I would love to come to Nashville
next
time.
That's the thing about it, too, though, is they would love you to be there because they're just the most welcoming folks. So can't wait to have you and show you some hospitality there as you've shown us here. So
thank you.
Appreciate
Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening in for another episode of First for Hunters. It's been great chatting. If you liked what you heard, like it, give it the 5 stars, whatever it takes, share it with your friends. We'll keep the stories coming. Back out from Europe. Look forward to getting home. Have a good one. Get back in the field. See ya.